First John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." We've seen so far to abide in Christ means that we stay connected with him, that is, there's fellowship and communion with Christ. It speaks of drawing from Christ. As we abide in him, we automatically draw from his fullness. We see from John chapter 15, it's having our life regulated by the word of God, that is, living in obedience to the Lord. Certainly includes trusting the Lord. We abide in him means that we trust in him. We depend upon him. Basically, it's enjoying the life that we have in the vine, the life that we have in Christ. You cannot abide in Christ and not enjoy that life. We see it's being available as the branch is to the vine. It's being available to the Lord, and we must always be in a condition where we are available, and we must always make ourselves available for the Lord's use. In order to abide in Christ, we see that we have to deal with sin as it comes into our life, because sin does mar fellowship with God. We have to maintain a spirit of dependency, which means we have to stay humble. Pride, of course, will cause us to think that we can do something on our own, when the Lord tells us in John 15, "Without me you can do nothing." And for that reason, we're to abide in him. So we want to start today to look at some of the results of abiding in Christ. We see from verse 6 that there he mentions one result, which we will close with probably next week. But he that saith he abideth in him ought. So something's going to happen. If you abide in Christ, there is going to be a result. The result that John mentions, of course, is that of Christ's likeness. Because if we go back over to John chapter 15, we see that Christ mentions several results of abiding in Christ. In John 15, he deals with the subject of abiding. Abiding in Christ will cause us to be fruitful, cause us to produce fruit. In other words, there will be a manifestation in our life that we are abiding in Christ. Notice in John 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." As a branch becomes useless. If it's fruitless, it's useless. "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And that's our purpose. Our purpose is to bear fruit. And as we bear fruit, he does something that would cause us to produce more fruit. So not only do we, when we abide in Christ, do we bear some fruit, but then he works in us, enabling us to bear more fruit. So we see that abiding in Christ, not only is there fruitfulness, but there's a growth in producing fruit, because the Lord does what's necessary to cause us to produce more fruit. And we as God's people ought to always be interested in more fruit. And the Lord does what he does in our lives to cause us to bring forth more fruit. And whatever he does in our life, again, it is for that purpose. "Now you're clean," that's what the word purgeth means here, "you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." No matter how hard you try, You cannot produce this fruit outside of the vine. You have to abide in the vine. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And then, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So we have, in verse 2, we have fruit, we have more fruit, and then in verse 5, we have much fruit. And again, this is all the result of abiding in Christ. So abiding in Christ, we become fruitful. That is, we give forth evidence that we are saved. We give forth evidence that the Lord has made a difference in our life. That's what fruit does. Fruit, of course, glorifies the Father, first and foremost. But fruit also gives evidence of what we are. It gives evidence of who we are. It gives evidence of the condition of our life. So we abide in Christ, and by abiding in Christ, we produce fruit. And again, the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned there in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And this is the fruit that we're talking about. So many times people read John 15, as soon as they see fruit, the only thing they think about is other people being saved through us, the way they'll put it, winning souls for Christ. There's so much more to fruit. And Galatians 5 doesn't even mention that particular fruit. It's not that other folks are saved, not that that's not important, but it's fruit in our life. And again, if there's fruit in our life, others will be able to see it, and they judge what kind of tree we are by the fruit we produce. And that's only fair. That's fair. It's common sense. If you see apples growing a tree, you make a judgment. That's an apple tree. And it's quite fair to make that judgment. And if you see fruit that is worthy of the vine, you can make the judgment that person belongs to the Lord. If you see fruit that is more in line with the world, then again, you have that judgment. That person probably isn't saved. Or if they are, they're sure not acting like it. So abiding in the vine produces fruit. We also see that abiding in Christ, we find the careful care of the Lord. Again, we see this in verse 2. Every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it. And he does so very, very carefully. He's the husbandman. We see in verse 1 that God the Father is the husbandman. That is, he's the cultivator. He's the cultivator. He's the manager. And as such, he takes notice. He takes notice of the condition of the branches. He's always looking, making sure that the branches are healthy and always ready to do whatever is necessary to make them more healthy and to prevent disease from settling in. And we get this care as we abide in the vine. Now, the Bible has much to say about hedges. And there is a truth that we get away from God. We have gone outside of the Lord's protective hedge. It's not that God doesn't protect us at all then, but we have stepped outside of a protective hedge. Job is a good example. Job stayed within that protective hedge of God. And that's what abiding in Christ is. That's our hedge. We're safe there. You're safe there. Because there you are assured of the very careful care of the Lord himself. But you get beyond that hedge, and now you have opened yourself up to attack that you would not experience had you stayed within the hedge. And people all the time, they live away from God. They live out of fellowship with God. They have their pity party. Oh, all these bad things always happen to me. Well, there could be a reason for that. It could be that you are living constantly outside of the hedge. And that's why you have many of the problems
that you have. I'm not saying that if you live within the hedge, if you abide in Christ, you'll never have problems. We know that's not so. But you won't have some of the problems you have. And we bring a lot of problems into our own lives. We are the direct cause of many of our problems because we insist on living outside of Christ. We insist on getting out of the hedge. And the Lord's given us all kinds of hedges in our life. God, of course, is our number one hedge. And friends, family, church, all these are hedges that God has put around us. And so, again, if we abide in Christ, we have the very careful care of the Lord. And as a husbandman, he knows exactly what to do. He knows when to do it. He knows what I need. And we see that he cleanses us, and he does so that we can bring forth more fruit. When we're abiding in Christ, whatever God does, he does so that we can bring forth more fruit. He's not out to ruin us. He's not out to destroy our happiness. Everything he does is that we would produce more fruit. And we need to understand that. And we need to believe that. And we see the way that he purges us is we are clean through the word, which I have spoken to you. He uses his word. When you withdraw from the word of God, when you do everything in your power to withdraw from the word of God, you are withdrawing from the cleansing power. You're withdrawing from the very thing that God uses to purge you and to enable you to bring forth more fruit. And when you withdraw from the word of God, again, whether you realize it or not, you've stepped outside of that hedge. So abiding in Christ causes us to be fruitful. Abiding in Christ, we find the careful care of the Lord. Thirdly, abiding in Christ will result in a familiarity with Christ. It will result in a nearness to Christ. In John 15 and verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. It's both ways. We abide in him. He abides in us. That talks about a nearness. Abiding in Christ, there is a very precious nearness to the Lord. It means that we're very familiar with the Lord. We talk to him on a regular basis. We hear from him on a regular basis. If you don't talk to the Lord on a regular basis, you have stepped out of that hedge. You're not abiding. There has to be a talking to him. And not only do we talk to him. Again, a lot of times some people want to do all the talking. There comes a time when you just need to keep your mouth shut and listen. Listen to what the Lord says. And he does talk to us. And he talks to us from his word. So abiding in Christ, we become very familiar with Christ. That's what Paul was talking about there in Philippians. He said that I may know him. He already knew Christ, but he wanted to know him more. He wanted to become more and more familiar with Jesus Christ. And that is the result of abiding in Christ. We become more familiar with him. We're more acquainted with him. We read in the book of Job, acquaint thyself now with God. We need to do that. We need to acquaint ourselves with the Lord. Make sure that we know him, that we know him very, very well. Again, there are people that you know very well. You know what they're going to do. You know how they're going to react to any given situation. You know them. You know them because you've been around them. You know them because you've taken the time to sit and listen to them. You just know them. Well, that's how it ought to be with the Lord. We ought to know him. We ought to know what he's going to do. We know how, for the most part, how he's going to treat us. We know. We just know the Lord. So abiding in Christ, we begin to know the Lord better. Also, abiding in Christ gives us spiritual enablement. We see in verse 5 again, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same, that is, the one who abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit. That is, he is enabled to bring forth much fruit. We're enabled to do a lot of things when we're close to the Lord. It'll amaze us what we're able to do, what we're able to endure when we are close to the Lord. And it's also just as amazing what we're unable to do without him. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. Sometimes the Lord has to remind us of that, because we get to thinking that, you know, you do something for a certain amount of time and you think, well, I've got this down. It just becomes routine. And the Lord, every now and then, will send a reminder, without me, you can do nothing. And he'll just show us that we can't do a thing without him. So abiding in Christ gives us enablement. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 3 that he could do all things through Christ. That is, whatever God called him to endure, and you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or 1 Corinthians 13 there, and you, or 2 Corinthians, you see that Paul endured many things. You can endure anything through Christ. So abiding in Christ gives us spiritual enablement, gives us the ability to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. Also, abiding in Christ results in power in praying. First of all, it causes us to pray. It enables us to pray. It enables us to pray correctly. And if we pray correctly, then we have power in prayer. Verse 7 of John 15, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So abiding in Christ, he abides in us. We see that in verse 5. But not only does he abide in us, his words abide in us. You cannot separate Christ from his word. People try to do it all the time. You cannot do it. The two go hand in hand, so much so that Jesus Christ is referred to as what? The Word. You cannot separate the two. And so we see, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. That's praying. In other words, if you abide in Christ, his words abide in you, you will pray. You will pray. Ye shall ask. Ye shall ask what ye will. That speaks of your desire. And it shall be done unto you. And people say, well, then I want a new car, I'll just ask for it. Because it says that right there. If I want $300,000, according to that verse, all I have to do is ask for it, and it's right there. That's not what the verse is saying. The main focus on the verse, the key, is if you abide in me. That's the key. That's what we have to get straight first off. That's the key. If ye abide in me, ye will. In other words, the ye will of, or ye shall, is the result of abiding in Christ. Ye shall ask. Ye shall pray. And you will do so in a right way. That is, you will pray in the will, or according to the will of Christ, the will of God. That's the only prayer that God answers, is the prayer that is in the will of God. God does not answer a prayer contrary to his will. He answers prayer that is in accord with his will. So abiding in Christ, we're able to know the will of God. People today, they'll say, I'm just searching for the will of God. Well, let me tell you the best way to do that. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ, and you'll know. You'll know the will of God. But people today, they want to set out all kinds of fleeces. They look for this sign, that sign, and I could take you all through the Bible and show you the vanity of doing that and the foolishness of doing that and how Satan can use those things to deceive you, the best way to know the will of God is stay close to Him. That's how you know. Don't go out here and get outside of the hedge, live like you please, live like the devil, and then say, well, I'm searching for the will of God. No, you're not. You're searching to please yourself. Well, you have to abide in Christ, and in doing so, you're able to know the will of God. Now, if you know the will of God, now you're able to pray right. Now you're able to pray in the will of God. So many times, people in their so-called search for the will of God, they've already made up their mind what they're going to do, and they pray upon in those grounds. They've already convinced themselves what they're going to do. But when you're praying in the will of God, it is, Lord, not my will but yours. Just show me what to do. Just show me, Lord, and I'm willing. And He doesn't have to show us by circumstances. That is such a fallacy today. Well, all the circumstances are lining up this way. They did for Jonah too. And all through the Word of God. That doesn't mean if all the circumstances are lining up, well, this obviously is the road I need to go down. What that is, that's the easy road. Sometimes all the circumstances might be contrary, and that's the way you should go. But my point is, you can't just go by circumstances. That's you just can't go. Well, we'll do such and such, and if the Lord comes through here, then we'll know. Not necessarily. Do you ever think the Lord might just speak to you and tell you through His Word? He might just say, regardless of circumstances, regardless of appearances, this is what I want you to do. Everything may seem contrary, but this is what I want you to do. But what we like to do is we like to measure everything. Well, you know, is it going to involve a different lifestyle for my family? On and on and on we go. But the truth is, if you abide in Christ, you'll be willing to surrender to the Lord's will, which enables you to pray in the Lord's will, which results in answered prayer, which results in the Lord answering our prayer. If you pray and there doesn't appear to be an answer, what do? You keep on abiding in Christ. You keep on abiding, and you keep on praying. The one thing you do not do, well, I haven't gotten an answer, and I need an answer right now, and I have to have it right now, so since He hasn't answered, I'll just do what I think's best. First of all, if you needed an answer right now, He would have given it to you. That's your belief, that I have to have this answer, and I have to have it right now. The Lord knows. His timing is perfect. So if you pray and it doesn't appear that the Lord has given you a direct answer, whatever you do, don't take matters in your own hand. But just keep on abiding and keep on praying. And the Lord will answer in His time. Again, don't let anybody, you know, people do it all the time. They set deadlines. Well, you have to do such and such by so. No, I don't. Car dealers are great. Well, you need to buy this car tonight because it may be gone tomorrow. And I've told car dealers, let me tell you something. If the Lord wants me to have that car, it'll be here next year. Amen. You're not selling it to anybody else. The Lord's timing is the best. It always is. So don't, we need to take care of this right now. Not necessarily. You take care of things when you know the Lord is saying, okay, now's the time. Now's the time to take care of whatever situations, whether it be church, individual, whatever. We need to know the Lord's will. We do this by abiding in Him. Most importantly, abiding in Christ results in bringing glory to God. Verse 8, it said, herein, in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So abiding in Christ, we're able to bear much fruit. And the purpose of bearing much fruit is to glorify the Father. The best way to glorify God is to abide in Him. Lastly for today, abiding in Christ results in joy. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You want joy? Abide in Christ. You're not going to find joy, not any lasting joy, outside of Christ. You want joy, you abide in Christ. And if we're always miserable, we're always unhappy, there's a reason. I know unhappy people don't like to hear it. But you're unhappy because you refuse to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ, and there will be joy. Doesn't mean that there's no sorrows. Doesn't mean that there's no heartaches. It simply means that there is joy in sorrow. There is joy in heartache that the world cannot explain. And we receive this by abiding in Christ. So abide in Christ. We need to ask ourselves all the time, am I abiding in Christ? Then all you have to do is read through John 15. You see the results of abiding in Christ, and you can pretty much answer yourself if you're honest. Am I abiding in Christ? Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord.